good friend of mine.
Amen.
I met Steve a few years ago. Did we meet in Miami or Atlanta?
Miami, I think, didn't I? Think so, yeah.
Steve used to be in Miami. He was working at Florida Baptist before coming to the North American Mission Board. And a big part of his responsibilities at the North American Mission Board is...
The best
area,
seats are that. Oh, you can sit.
...world church planting and other people's church planting. There is a very large segment of the United States and Canada today that is still rural. By far, the majority, over 50, it's about 52-56% would be considered urban, but that still leaves a very large chunk of our continent related to the rural areas. And so Steve knows his stuff. If anything, he's a great guy because he's given you guys free books. So
Hey, man.
I mean, that in and of itself is worth the price of admission, right? Let me share with you where we're going to go today. We're going to go probably about in 50-minute blocks, and then we'll stop and take roughly around 10-minute breaks just to kind of stretch legs if we need to use the restroom, and then we'll again go from there. We'll go up until probably about 12:15, and then we will break for lunch. We have those of you that RSVP, Gary's put together lunch for everyone, and for the last 45 minutes, we'll really just be dialogue around the table, sitting around the table, discussing
these awesome
concepts, network with some of the people around us. So that's kind of our morning. We've got a lot to cover, a lot of information that is going on today, so I don't want to take any more time. I'll turn it over to Steve, and I think Steve wants to hear a little bit about you guys this morning as well. So
yeah.
Steve, thanks so much for being here.
Hey guys, thanks a lot. Listen, when you deal with rural, this is like a mega church here. So, we're going to have a good time today. We're going to preach to the multitudes. No, really, when you have a rural conference and this many show up, it's pretty certain that many of you are from a class and you have to be here. All right? So, I want to get that straight right from the beginning. Those of you who are behind me, I apologize, but I really need to see this for certain reasons, and so just, it's probably my best side, so don't worry. All right? Listen, here's what I want to do. Before I introduce what I'm going to talk about and all that, I want to hear from you. Just tell me your name, if you're a student, and where you're from, and why are you here to learn about rural church planting. Okay? And it's okay to say, because I want to get an A, all right, or I want to pass. It's okay. Let's start over here on this illustrious table in the back. Go ahead, you in the blue.
Okay. I'm Jeremy Robinson. I'm originally from Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, right now in 64. I'm now in Bowling Green working with West Kentucky University in Monroe, Kansas. I've been a student here for about, I guess, almost a year now. And I'm here, I'm working in a rural church now and as a part-time youth minister. And I grew up in a rural town. And
good.
I just have hard to reach that population.
Glad you're here. All right.
My name is Philip Jones. I live in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm here. I grew up in southeastern Kentucky, which is very rural. So I still have a heart for my hometown in that area, so I can see myself.
Amen.
I'm Evan Johnson. I'm originally from Flint, Michigan. I'm here. It's required for my class.
All right. Michigan has a lot of rural areas. Hey, man. I was just out there. Woo-hoo.
I'm also here for class. But I
love
Lawrenceburg. Hey,
man. God's doing some neat things in Wyoming at this time. So.
I'm Jeff Bennington, and I'm from Georgia. And I'm here Southern. And I've got a bit of a ride. And so I'm here to learn a lot, though. And I'm really
interested. Hey, are you the Jeff I talked to on the phone? All right. Very good. All right, Jeff. Good to meet you. All right. So you're basically all students in one form or another. All right. I'll pray for you. Up here.
I'm Jeff Moore, and I plant a church in Thornville, Ohio, which is eastern part of Ohio. Very rural.
Okay.
Area.
Very good. Did you drive here from Ohio?
No, I didn't drive.
You flew? Bob drove. I know this guy. All right.
I'm Bob Beinke. I'm an associational missionary in eastern Ohio, very rural area of Ohio.
Amen.
I'm Josh Hutchins. I'm from Murray, Kentucky. And I'm a student here at Voice. And on Sunday, a rural church will be voting whether Tom is pastor. So
What's your name? Josh?
Josh.
Josh. Well, I don't know what this church is, but most rural churches are very desperate, Josh. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Listen, I want to encourage you to go with great confidence. All right? I'm just teasing you. All right? Wow, good for you, man. You're from Cumming area or something. Yeah, I know. Okay.
I'm Dave Cash. I'm from Glasgow, Kentucky. I'm a student, and I came because my friend, an upcoming church planner, wanted me to come with.
Well, good. Very good.
My name's Terry Frazier. I'm from Glasgow, Kentucky as well. You guys pray for me because he did drive me here this morning, and if you saw how he drove, you would understand that we need to be making it back in one piece today. But I am from Glasgow, and probably around, I'd say, hopefully looking at mid-May, early May, my wife and family will be moving to Oakdale, Connecticut, where we'll be, that's the first time I'm ever involved in church planning, but we'll be planning the church there in Oakdale.
Amen.
The church is Chapel Hill Baptist Church.
Very good. And I know.
And I'm here for the reason, just obviously, I want to know all I can.
Very good.
We're talking about Raphael, you know,
Raphael. Yeah, very good. Yeah, and the area where you're going, that's good. All right, let's go over this one here. Start with the lady with the jacket. Just tell us who you are and why. What are you thinking here about rural? Seattle, very good. You've worked with Gary Irby out there. Yes, very good. Okay, very good. And don't think ethnic is only in the city, guys and gals. All right, good to have you. Over here, let's go right around.
Yeah, I'm Daniel Lucas. I'm an extension student. I drove 3 hours here this morning.
Wow, man. Go downstairs. There's a little vending thing there.
I'm pastor at Eastern Kentucky, and Lord has called my wife and I to go back to the rural area, the college town that God saved me as a junior in college. We planted church, so this summer we'll be going back to Morris State University in the Moorhead area.
Good for you. All right. Are you targeting college students? Or?
No, they don't talk. So we can't.
Well, I see you guys have your priorities right here. You might as well leave right now if money's the issue. I'm just teasing you. Well, good for you, man. Lord bless you. Man, that's great. It's hard to go back to where you came from. Oh, I've been there, done that, forgot it. Okay, all right. Are you in a class that you have to come here?
No.
Oh, wow, we got one here. Look at this. A real live person, JD, right there. No, go ahead.
I'm Jim Carpenter. I am the mission strategist for Long Run Baptist Association.
Well, good, all right. You know Todd Robertson?
Yes.
All right. Well, Todd and I go back to the Miami days. Wow.
My husband is from a very rural area, and we have a park for it every time we go home.
Amen.
So I want to be prepared in case that's where God takes
us. Good for you. Good for you.
What she said.
Do you agree? Okay, well, we're going.
My name is Trent Deloach. I was raised in Glenville, Georgia. If you're familiar with Vidalia School, you
yeah, know, sure, Vidalia, Georgia.
I'm growing in my hometown.
Yeah, so South Georgia, kind of, yeah.
So definitely have a heart for that area. Currently, we work more with ethnic groups here in the city.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're all by yourself,
now,
man.
I'll tell you. My name's Tim Blinn. I did take a shower this morning.
When they get bored with me, I'll come sit with you, Cannon, you know.
I'm a student here. I'm from Bakersfield, California. Not really rural.
Bakersfield.
But I'm going to Utah where there are rural areas.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to be here for a class. But
okay. You know what part of Utah you're going?
I don't know yet.
Okay. Do you really? Okay. Andy Robertson, if you haven't connected with him. That's, yeah, okay.
My name is Kwang Seo. I'm from South Korea.
Do you know this lady over here? Yeah, oh, I was just making a joke, and you do? Okay, go ahead.
And I'm here because this is supposed to be
Canada.
Yes.
I'm going to be church planting in South Korea.
Okay, wow. Very good. Do you have rural in South Korea? Well, no, not much. I didn't think so. I just asking.
Okay, so you got
off
from Indiana. We were there this morning, so we had rural church work
Amen. You're my kind of man right there. JD, hold on to that guy, will you? He always plants one person in these classes. Oh, okay. Very good. We're glad to have you. Amen. All right.
My name is Vince Harrison. I'm a student here. My wife and I felt the lead recently to get involved in church planning, so I'm trying to learn all I can about it.
Good for you. All right.
My name is Jeremy Williamson, and I'm a student here, and my background is anything but rural. I chose this one because I don't have any experience.
Good. No, it's good. Good time to learn a little bit. All right. You'll be surprised how much of America is rural. Yes, sir. All right. You work with Gary Smith up there? Yeah. Good man. I gave him his interview when he came through NAM. Passed with flying colors. Is that everybody? And you guys know the two guys who are working here, Michael and Joel? All right. They're here because of the providence of God. And who knows what God's going to say to them. Well, listen, I've had an exciting time here in, where am I? Louisville? No, if it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium or something. We travel a lot. But I went to lunch, dinner with this fellow over here, Jack, we just met. And he said, come on out to dinner last night. And so we're coming home from dinner, and we got in this really just cool accident. It's not too cool for him. It wrecked his car, kind of totaled the thing. And some guy pulled right in front of us, and we T-boned him. And he turned, flipped around like this, and he took off. We thought he was going to stop, but he took off. So it was really kind of interesting. It's the first time I ever had an airbag go off in my face. And, you know, I really thought that I was having a religious experience, you know. All of a sudden, I saw this white light, and then it just came at you, and then I realized it was an airbag. But seriously, though, I did have a little headache last night. And my eye from last, really, it's like twitching today. And I don't know what if I got some of that stuff in there. So if you think I'm winking at you, I don't want you to go home saying that guy at NAM teaches and winks at everybody, all right? That's not really good for my reputation. So, but seriously, there's something like twitching here. So if you see it, you know, that's where it is. Well, let me introduce this. First of all, let me say to JD, I appreciate him. He's one of the Nehemiah professors, and he's in charge of the whole thing here. And he has a lot of guys like myself come in and go out. In fact, the guy that works with me, Bob Burton, is coming later on. Is it this month or next month? Talk about multi-housing. And if you're interested, 50% of America lives in multi-housing. So make sure you come to that one as well. But let me share with you that I've been in the ministry a little over 27 years. I've done work in rural and in the cities. My last assignment, actually, before I came to NAM, was down in Fort Lauderdale in Miami. I was there for 14 years, worked with strategic focus cities there. It was a great opportunity. We started like 100 churches, different ethnic groups in a four-year period. Strategic focus is where you really, you know, push your emphasis for a four-year period to one city. The last 2.5 years at NAM, I have been pushed by God to really learn rural and bivocational. I was bivocational for about 13 years, so that was not hard. But rural is, I've just been put into that position. I grew up, like many of you, in a rural area. And when I left there, I thought I left there. Okay? But then I realized, after I started checking out rural, that more of America is rural than urban. And so this is something we really need to address. And I think some of the things that you'll learn today might make you go, ah, which we really want you to go, ah. All right. But at the same time, I'm going to make you aware of rural church planting. All right. Then I'm going to talk to you about, I want to word this correctly so you understand where we're going. Much of rural church planting is in small towns, say 10,000 or under. Rural, you'll see, is 2,500 or under. But all across America, there are places where we have had churches or other people have had churches, and you're going to restart those churches. Kind of like what I was kidding with this brother over here. You know, they're like almost dead, and we're going to go in there and try to restart them. You have to look at it as a church plant. Our current method of operation is to take people from like you and push you out somewhere in a rural area. I'm going to spend about 2/3 of our time talking about that because that's our current method. That method, however, is a faulty method. Listen to me very carefully. I'm spending a lot of our time talking to you about a method that is somewhat faulty because that's the method most of you are going to be thrown into. Now, you're saying, I didn't come here to learn about that faulty method. But let me tell you something. Unless you're convinced that it's faulty, you will never journey into the last hour or two that we're going to spend. Because that last hour or two is where God is moving in America today. He's moving all around the world, but we in the western part of the world has not grasped it yet. I'm going to use words that you need to pay attention to if you don't know what they mean. One of the words is indigenous. Indigenous means somebody from that local area. I'm going to use a word called bivocational. Bivocational means that you have some form of your income outside of the church. Doesn't matter where it is. In fact, this book right here is written by a very famous person that I know. I had a privilege writing this with a guy named Eric. Eric put together all the stories, and I did kind of the writing, the sandwich, like an Oreo cookie. Bivocational church planning. We will not reach rural America without bivocational church planting or indigenous church planting. So pay attention when we talk about those things. You've been given a book, No Little Places. A lot of the things that I'll be talking to you comes out of this. There's a theory, and it's a very true theory, that when you deal with rural church planting or just rural, you do not do anything that cannot be reproduced. You may want to write this down somewhere. Let me share with you that you have a listening guide. See this little puppy right here? Church planting? It's a listening guide. You just kind of follow through. If it doesn't go exactly in order, blame my secretary. Her name is Catherine. No, she does a real good job. And, guys, my clock just went wacky, so let me know when, like, 45 minutes are up or somebody do that, okay? We're close. All right? No Little Places. I have permission from the author to put together a PowerPoint that allows us to discuss what's in this book. Now, why do I give you this thing of reproduction? When you leave here today, you will have a sample of a teaching methodology that's not really good for my reputation. So, but seriously, there's something like twitching here. So if you see it, you know, that's where it is. Well, let me introduce this. First of all, let me say to JD, I appreciate him. He's one of the Nehemiah professors, and he's in charge of the whole thing here. And he has a lot of guys like myself come in and go out. In fact, the guy that works with me, Bob Burton, is coming later on. Is it this month or next month? Talk about multi-housing. And if you're interested, 50% of America lives in multi-housing. So make sure you come to that one as well. But let me share with you that I've been in the ministry a little over 27 years. I've done work in rural and in the cities. My last assignment, actually, before I came to NAM, was down in Fort Lauderdale in Miami. I was there for 14 years, worked with Strategic Focus Cities there. It was a great opportunity. We started like 100 churches, different ethnic groups, in a four-year period. Strategic Focus is where you really, you know, push your emphasis for a four-year period to one city. The last 2.5 years at NAM, I have been pushed by God to really learn rural and bivocational. I was bivocational for about 13 years, so that was not hard. But rural is, I've just been put into that position. I grew up, like many of you, in a rural area. And when I left there, I thought I left there, okay? But then I realized, after I started checking out rural, that more of America is rural than urban. And so this is something we really need to address, and I think some of the things that you'll learn today might make you go, ah, which we really want you to go, ah, all right. But at the same time, I'm going to make you aware of rural church planting, all right. Then I'm going to talk to you about, I want to word this correctly so you understand where we're going. Much of rural church planting is in small towns, say 10,000 or under. Rural, you'll see, is 2,500 or under. But all across America, there are places where we have had churches, or other people have had churches, and you're going to restart those churches. Kind of like what I was kidding with this brother over here. You know, they're like almost dead, and we're going to go in there and try to restart them. You have to look at it as a church plant. Our current method of operation is to take people from like you and push you out somewhere in a rural area. I'm going to spend about 2/3 of our time talking about that because that's our current method. That method, however, is a faulty method. Listen to me very carefully. I'm spending a lot of our time talking to you about a method that is somewhat faulty because that's the method most of you are going to be thrown into. Now, you're saying, I didn't come here to learn about that faulty method. But let me tell you something. Unless you're convinced that it's faulty, you will never journey into the last hour or two that we're going to spend. Because that last hour or two is where God is moving in America today. He's moving all around the world, but we in the Western part of the world has not grasped it yet. I'm going to use words that you need to pay attention to if you don't know what they mean. One of the words is indigenous. Indigenous means somebody from that local area. I'm going to use a word called bivocational. Bivocational means that you have some form of your income outside of the church. Doesn't matter where it is. In fact, this book right here is written by a very famous person that I know. I had a privilege writing this with a guy named Eric. Eric put together all the stories, and I did kind of the writing, the sandwich, like an Oreo cookie. Bivocational church planning. We will not reach rural America without bivocational church planting or indigenous church planting. So pay attention when we talk about those things. You've been given a book, No Little Places. A lot of the things that I'll be talking to you comes out of this. There's a theory, and it's a very true theory, that when you deal with rural church planting or just rural, you do not do anything that cannot be reproduced. You may want to write this down somewhere. Let me share with you that you have a listening guide. See this little puppy right here? Church planting. It's a listening guide. You just kind of follow through. If it doesn't go exactly in order, blame my secretary. Her name is Catherine. No, she does a real good job. And, guys, my clock just went wacky, so let me know when, like, 45 minutes are up or somebody do that, okay? We're close. All right? No Little Places. I have permission from the author to put together a PowerPoint that allows us to discuss what's in this book. Now, why do I give you this thing of reproduction? When you leave here today, you will have a sample of a teaching methodology. So, if you listen to what I'm saying, every person in every community, there's an assumption, a presupposition in my teaching you this, that God is at work within every people group and with every group of people. And what he's looking for is his missionaries, his saints, to go and find out who those people are, to be able to bring them to the top, help train them, and move on to the next group of people. You see, that's what Paul did. Now, let me give you just a little history. The Apostle Paul, most of us think that he just went, and everything that where Paul went, he started. That's not true. You see, there were two scatterings. After Pentecost, What happened? Those people who came from these foreign countries, they went back. They brought the gospel where they came from. And that gospel went from there to their relatives, and it went out. Acts chapter 8, what was a great diaspora. Okay, God took his people from Jerusalem. He scattered them all out into rural places and city places. When Paul went out, God already had people who had heard the gospel, and he was used to congregationalize them, and he brought them together through great circumstances, and then when he went back around, he developed leaders. We'll talk about that as a way of developing more of a missionary or apostolic way of rural church planting. Okay? So, now, how many of you are thoroughly confused? Nah, that's this whole introduction. All right? Normally, I introduce more than that. You ready to go? All right? I'm going to make you aware that I'm not too good with computers. So here we go. Rural church planting. If I stand right here, you're not going to make it. I know I'm going to stand right here, so I want you to... Okay? What's your name? Rebecca. We're glad you're here. Okay? Let's see. Who's got a seat for Rebecca? There we go. Jack will do it. Okay? Here we go. Most of you have a dream. Okay? Many of you came to seminary with the American dream. Oh, man, are you read, you know, Rick Warren, and you're going out to Saddleback, and you're going to want to go out to Mosaic, and some of you will, and, you know, who knows who your hero is. But the chances are most of your heroes are dreaming big. The reality is that the majority of our churches in Southern Baptist life are 86 people and under. In fact, church planting gives you a better shot because after 4 years, statistics say that the average church plant is 94 or under. All right, so church planting gives you about, what, 9-8 more people. But this is the reality of most of our people, most of you right here. That's where you're going to be. You're dreaming. You're sitting around saying, man, I wish I had an office like J.D. I mean, I wish I could just sit back there and tell everybody what to do and everything would be fine. All right? That's what it's going to look like. Your wife is going to be, somebody's calling. You're, I don't want it. I'm done. It's right, you're right at your home, your little desk there. All right? Here we go. We're going to talk about the need for church planting, the myths of church planting, how they affect rural. Answer the question, can small be significant? Current trends? Come on, baby. Bridging and building upon the small town culture. Leadership styles. Methods and strategies. Get that out of your mind. Crowds gather each week just to hear you. All right? Take it away. Wipe it out. All right? Right now, just wipe it out. If you can't wipe that out, go have coffee. All right? I'm telling you, the majority of you will not affect that. And if you do, you may or may not be in the will of God. A population of 2,500 to 50,000 will be labeled an urban cluster. We're getting a little definition here. This is all in your little write-out. by the way, I have the answers to that. So if you're bad at this during the breaks, I'll put it out here. I always liked it when people did that. Any population that's basically 2,500 or less, excuse me, is considered rural. 2,500 or less. Now, when you talk to people about rural, they'll say, oh, anything under 50,000, okay? That's what people in the conversation in our culture, that's what they talk about. The reality of it is statistically it's not. So whenever you read about rural, it's 2,500 or less. Look at definitions. Urban clusters. This is the smallest cluster that has to do with urban. Census definition. Consists of a geographic core, block groups or blocks, must have a population density of at least 1,000 people per square mile. Adjacent blocks would have 500 people per square mile. Together, they encompass a population of at least 2,500, but fewer than 50,000. Above 50,000 are just considered urban. Okay? So this urban cluster and urban are considered metro. You'll see metro later on. All right? Rural is everything that's non-metro. These are important things to know. So right here, a lot of what you might consider rural technically is not rural. It is small town. So some of what I'll be talking today, that book actually I've given you, will develop small town, because in our culture right now, what we're dealing with is small town and under. Okay, this is really the lost places of America. All right, but you need to know that rural technically is 2,500 or under. The fellow who's going to Wyoming, the fellows up in Alaska, Colorado, some areas all out west, up in Maine, all across the northern tier, even in places like Massachusetts, and you name it, there are little villages and towns under 2,500. You are going to be amazed when you see what rural exists. Now, let me just say, I'm the type of guy who just, I'm passionate about what I talk about. All right, you'll see that more and more as I go along. But if you want to interrupt me, please interrupt me. All right, I am here for you. Listen very carefully. I'm not here for me. I've gone through these slides already. I've taught this. I'm here for you. So please, if you need to interrupt, just say, Steve, be quiet. You know, this is a burning thing. Okay, can we make that? All right, don't wait for me to do it. At the end of each session, hopefully we'll have some time. Definitely at the end we'll have time. Okay, here's the definition of rural. All territory, this is in your little note, all territory, population, housing units located outside the urbanized area. So listen to how our government says rural. They say we want a definite place of urban. We want urban clusters, which most of us think of as suburbia. And you know what? Rural is just everything else. Now, I want you to know that everything else is from little towns to Indian reservations to remote areas in Alaska that you cannot get there except by plane or dog sled. That everything else is a major diversified place. It's not all white Anglo. I can show you a place in Kansas where they have a population in a rural setting of Vietnamese people. In Virginia, you know, our government relocates people from other major immigration places to certain towns. When they come in, our government says, would you like to go to this town, or that town? We think that they just go wherever they want. Not true. They go to these towns for like 2 years, and then they figure out where they want to go. Our government is repopulating rural areas with immigrants that are coming over. And we need to pay attention to that, because these first 2 years that they come into America is the best time to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And most people don't even know this. Okay? So if you're interested in ethnic groups, pay attention. Now, a lot of the major ethnic groups, this does not apply to. Like some of you guys are Korean. This usually doesn't apply to major ethnic groups that we have already immigrated. These are the people who are coming from some country in Africa that nobody heard about. You know, some little small countries in Asia. These are the people who are not major immigrators. But it's something that you may need to pay attention to if you're interested in ethnic. Uh-oh, what'd I do? All right, rural population. In America today, it's estimated that 53 million people live in rural communities. 53. You'll find later that that's one-sixth the population of America live in rural communities. That's a lot of people. Canada, 20 million of the 32 million live in rural communities. Where do you see the what Canada looks like? Where do you see what America looks like? I have maps. You're going to be amazed. Most of you will end up either in rural or somewhere near rural. I am so excited. I can't tell you. JD, I'm going to go just jump up and down when this is over. This many people forced to hear about rural. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Well, you built up my ego, buddy. I'm telling you, anytime I can give out 40 books, I'm excited. I know this is on tape. But listen, you have to be relational to do rural. You'll hear this later. You can't be this plastic person. And I've never been a plastic person. So what you see is what you get. Kind of like JD. You know, I don't know how you're doing it here, JD, but you're doing a great job. All right. Let's stop here for a minute. Let's think about church planting. What's the average church? What's the average church size? Remember I told you? Well, under 100. If it's 84, 96, 94. All right. Now, in a moment, we're going to see that half the population, some estimates, Barna and others, estimate half the population is lost. Okay, I think it's much more than that, but I'm not a statistical guru, but I'm just going by experience. Half of 53 million is what? 26.5 million. Okay? Do you know how many churches of 100 it would take to reach 26.5 million? It would take 265,000 churches. Listen carefully. This may be the most important thing I say before this day's over. To reach, to be available for those people doing what we are now doing as Southern Baptists and what we have done for generations. Okay? Can we start 265,000 churches tomorrow? No, but we need to. All right? Now, follow this if you would. 3 million come in every year. Just to keep up with the population, you would have to start 30,000 a year. Does anybody know how many churches Southern Baptists start? How many we start on average over a five-year period? Guess. It's free. You're not going to get graded on this one, guys. I wish it was. I wish it was. I'm leading you. I know I'm leading you. One of our best years was 2 years ago, and we did something like 1,751. Last year, your statistics are going to show you it's 1,496 or something like that. The average over a five-year period, the last five, is 1,600. Now, guys, listen carefully. If you don't hear anything else, and I'm going to hammer this at you again. The way we're doing it, it works for certain areas, but it is not making impact into lostness. So what we need is to really rethink some of the things we're doing. Don't stop what we're doing. Listen carefully. I'm a part of that finding out how to do what we're doing now, the last 25 years. But God is bringing a new, fresh wind into America of how to deal with bivocational and indigenous church planters. And you guys right here are one day, maybe it's next year or the year after, you're going to be on the cutting edge of this. And I want to encourage you not to run from that cutting edge. Don't think that we already know how to do it and you're behind the curve. No. You will be riding the curve how to do indigenous church planting in Western civilization. Let me say that again. You will be on the front edge of learning how to do indigenous church planting in Western contextualization. You see, the IMB knows how to do it in the foreign textualization, where people are in tribes and other people. We have not learned how to do it in geographic areas where people have lived there for generations. See, so there is a whole new wave that God is doing, and we're really just right on the edge of it. And you being right here, you're on the edge of it. So I want to encourage you. I'll give you some more things to think about. The population growth in areas, you'll see in certain areas, tied to recreation and tourism. You can pay attention to that, but that's not the entire thing. Rural areas are also growing in ethnic diversity. So as far as church planting, are we ahead of the game? Are we behind the game? Way behind the game. Okay? Now, am I making fun of... I work for the North American Mission Board. Listen to me carefully. I'm not making fun of what we do. I was 25 years ago. We just really started starting churches. And I was a young buck out there in the Pioneer area. Kind of probably you were out there too. And we were just trying to make it happen. We've learned a lot about the model of one church planter that comes out of seminary in one area to do one church. And that has gotten us 1,600 churches a year. That is not going to make it if we're going to impact lostness. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You can, anything you want, brother.
Can you explain the growth in ethnic diversity and why that is? I can understand ethnic diversity in the cities.
Part of it is, there's a lot of different reasons. Take the farming and ranching, for instance. Farming and ranching, we'll see, has gone into corporations. Corporations hire people, not the ranch hands that we know of. A lot of people from South America are coming up to be ranch hands, to work in the fields. You have the migrants. So that whole area of farming is changing. Mining is changing. So immigration is coming for labor jobs that once we had in the middle part and even in the West and even in Alaska. The places where there's big money, like the Alaska oil fields, you'll find that's pretty totally Anglo. You will find that people from, if you go up there, it's funny in the travel, Alabama, Georgia, these guys, they're 12 days on or 2 weeks on and 2 weeks off. So they fly up there, leave their families, make the money, and then for 2 weeks come down. So it's by the government repopulation, and it's by jobs primarily. The third thing is, you probably know this, but it's happened usually in the cities up until now. But because of the way we're distributing immigrants, a pocket of immigrants will go somewhere, and it'll just grow. Or sometimes it's even a family. A family will go and say, oh, let's bring my cousins or let's bring whatever. Starts in one house and just grows. And before long, this rural population, and you talk about tension and conflict and not knowing what to do. It's all across. And we've not seen this to its apex in any form or fashion. In fact, in some areas, they're just beginning to understand that it's happening. And there are some states who are saying, where do these people come from? Okay, so we're in the genesis of really grasping where they are and what to do with it. That answer somewhat? Okay. Remember, the small farm, it doesn't exist anymore. Where do you see this farming map I have? You're going to go, wow. All right. There are currently 436 counties in America with no Southern Baptist work. Look at your little paper there. I apologize. I did not get it on the slide presentation. So you will not have this slide in your CD there. Maybe she did. She got it on mine, but not on yours. I'll get there in a minute. There are thousands of places in North America without any evangelical work. Now, if I would tell you that, some of you would not believe that, that there are towns literally without any churches. But there are, not only in the United States, Canada, Eastern Canada, when I show you this, all up the seaboard of Eastern Canada, there are churches with no alive work. Here's the one that it's not in your CD, but it's on here. These are counties. Now, there's a current county in Montana. They just started to work, so they have less red counties. The way to understand these maps, we can only do it in counties. If we do less than that, it's not going to make any sense to anybody. But if you go to one of these counties, you make sure you do your own demographics to find out what's really there. We as Southern Baptists, we have been around since 1845, okay? We still have the whole northern part here without Southern Baptist work. So if you really want to go into a pioneer area, you think about that northern tier. Now, I confess that I think this works. This pointer, maybe it doesn't. Isn't there an arrow somewhere there? It just doesn't. Maybe I'm supposed to go here. Man, I don't know. If are you smarter than a fifth grader? All right, you guys have to be. Up there in Maine, you'll find there, my wife and I spent some time up there trying to get away from the world. We didn't know how far we'd get away from the world. It's all logging and things like that. All right, but there's a place for somebody who has that in their background to go up there and do some work. Beautiful up there, but there's not very many people. Needs a certain type of person to do that. All through this with Minnesota and North Dakota and all of that, there's a big Lutheran influence there. A lot of the churches that you'll see in rural areas, they're dying on the vine. You can go into most of the little rural towns right now and pick up a church building for nothing. It's not Baptist, but it's somebody else. So there's some resources up there. So that's just to give you, like, we as Southern Baptists, we still got a ways to go. Now, I want to show you some of these maps. How much time we have before the break? Carrie? Carrie's my official person right there. She's going to keep me straight. 10 or 15, we can do this. All right, non-metropolitan and metropolitan. Look on the bottom there. Metro counties are only 1,000. There's two-thirds of the counties in the United States are considered non-metro. They would be considered rural counties. Okay? There's only 1,000 counties that are considered metro. Okay? And that's according to their clusters. Now watch this. That red there, if those counties are considered rural, each one of those places have little rural pockets of people. And those pockets of people in those are 53 million people. So what's happening here, you're going to see, I wish I could get this working before today's over. Let me try this one. Okay, hey, look at this. All right, watch what's happening here. The demographers tell us that by 2050, okay, see this ring that starts up here? This is your basically your Bar Harbor and all of that beautiful part of Maine. You're going to come down here. This is your Cape Cod. Come down. This is Long Island. I grew up on Long Island. It's 100 miles by 40 miles. It has at least 3 million people on that island right there. When I grew up, it was potato fields. My town, I graduated from a class, had 33 people. So I can tell people that I was number 32 in my class. I went to school for sports, okay? That was BF before fat. You come here, you got all your Boston up here, your D.C., all that Virginia area. You all know that that's metro. You've heard about it. You read about it. You see, it's starting to turn white all around. Uh-oh, where did my red thing go? Okay? Demographers tell us that this ring is going to happen. You can actually see it happening. All up and right up. It probably won't happen in Northern California. There's too many redwoods there, but they'll probably knock them down someday. Right up here through your Seattle. And you can go right up to Canada, Vancouver. Now, you're going to find that this ring of urban centers is also going to be very ethnically diverse. Okay? This little center is going, we thought at one time, was it's going to remain mainly Anglo. But it is not going to be distinct. It's going to be distinctly Anglo, but it's not going to be only Anglo. At one time, we thought it was just going to be Anglo, but it's not. Okay? But look at where we're headed here. Urban all the way around, and in the center, rural. So what America is doing, if I can do it this way, maybe this will help. America is closing in on itself. Okay? You see what's happening here. And your rural is going to be rural out. And urban is going to be out in. And so much of America is left to you if you want to address rural church planting. Now, I want to say something. Now, I've done work in the cities as well. The cities are no different than rural when it comes to reaching people. They're just pockets of smaller ethnic people in a larger place. So when you what the things we talk about rural can actually affect the cities as well, although we're not talking about that, but your neighborhoods are simply little pockets of people in this bigger culture. Okay? It's very different but similar than reaching a pocket of people in just one geographic area. Now, that may not make sense to you today, but as you go through, it will make sense to you. Question about this demographic at all? I hope you grasp this, because this will really help you. Let's see if we can get to the... Uh-oh, what'd I do? Okay, help me, Rhonda. Man, that guy's good. Guy's good. All right, Joel, stay around, man. And I thought those headset was just to look good and important. All right. I'm going to give you a series of slides. My secretary said, she said, Steve, if you give them, it's like 10, 12 slides. If you give them those slides, they're going to be bored to death. And I said, Catherine, that's my secretary, I said, they're seminary students. They're used to that. So, not in JD's class, however. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Here you go. This is, I don't know where parts, some of your different parts of the country, but I did this today so that you could have it, basically, all right, and know where to get it. All right, you can get it through Census or the Economic Research Service is really good. Oh, man, I went back. I have to go back. Maybe I can go back this way. Oh, no, don't do that. Oh. Huh? F5? Joel. I want to go back to the second slide.
Which one is that?
That one. There you go. Okay. No growth or decline. Look at decline in the whole middle of our country. Okay. Now, you may have read this in Newsweek or Business Week or something like that if you're a reader. The towns in the middle there are dying. The kids are growing, and there's nothing to do for work, and they're leaving, and they're not coming back. And there's a bunch of old people sitting around waiting to die and go to hell. There's a bunch of people just waiting. And somehow we've got to address this. I don't know if I know how, but I'm here to tell you that it's happening. Above average growth, you'll see there, above average growth normally is by some population center or some tourism. This is farming. Look at how farming, you think of farming, you thought of Georgia, you thought of, you know, all of this in the Ohio region, that it's all shrinking. The majority of major farming is right in the middle of our country. And by the way, a lot of it's done by corporations now. This is federal state dependent. These are 15% or more of the total earnings are from federal or state programs. Okay, these are like poorer areas. This one here is manufacturing. You see it's still to the west where the rivers are, where the system is, where the people are. Mining, it's just there to show you where it's at. Notice the Alaska there. I tell you, I have a heart for Alaska. Oh, buddy, you want to go somewhere that needs help? Go to Alaska. Almost went there. But anyway, God didn't want that to happen. Non-metro recreation. You'll see a lot of this. It's very interesting. Has to do, we have more money now. We do more what? In the winter, very expensive sport. Skiing. We have become a winter sport. We've understood it. And you'll see that a lot of this is happening there. If you're a winter sport person, check some of this out. Non-metro, non-specialized. These people, you can't put them in any category. They're just scattered all over the place. Non-metro population, lost counties. These are the places who are losing. You'll see Appalachia's losing. This whole western tier here has to do with weather. You get that lake effect coming out. It also has Pittsburgh over here. You got your steel mills closing down. And then your whole center of the country, the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas. Retirement destinations, non-metro retirement. If you're into retirement, you want to start early, go there. If you like old people, baby boomers, take a look. It's not just Florida anymore, guys. Service dependent. 45% or more of their total earnings are from service. This is retail, finance, real estate. We think of this more of the professional, white-collar kind of stuff. You'll see it's kind of taking that ring. And it's also taken just your major urban areas. You'll see why those little dots are there. But let me just show you. Other than that, it's just rural there. Poverty. To the west, to the north, Indian reservations. You drive through Arizona, guys, and your heart will fall. You'll end up crying. My wife and I went to Arizona, and we realized that whenever we saw a nasty piece of land, it was going to be an Indian reservation. No water, just a nasty piece of land. We have done Native work. There's a reason that it's not working. We went in there, and we tried to just make them white. We took the kids, put them in white schools. Don't get me started on this one. But rural, if you have a heart for Native Americans, you need to go somewhere where you can help indigenously raise leaders on the res. Well, you saw also Mississippi and all that's still the same. It hasn't changed for decades. Low employment counties. Looks almost like the last map. Pretty interesting. Poverty, low employment, kind of goes together. Welfare. They're all going to see. Low educated, all the same thing. So if some of you have kids, talk to them about education. Your parents talk to you about education. It does make a difference. Housing stress, very interesting. That whole West Coast, you can't touch a 3-2 under $400,000, a 3-2 house. You want to do church planning? You better have some money to go out there. You better have parents who want to back you. You better have somebody, your great aunt who passed away, left you this big inheritance. Or you better have a bivocational training that you can do your profession and start churches. You see, God's forcing us into this bivocational issue just by the economics that are there. And let me say to some of you of ethnic persuasion, your ethnic group is into education. I know the Koreans are, Chinese are. Help your people understand that bivocational is not a bad thing. It is biblical, and a person can have a profession and be used to reach a people group. And they can call themselves leader, pastor, whatever. But you guys coming out of seminary now may be able to help bridge that, because the people who came out of seminary before you have not been able to bridge that gap. But we will not reach the people in America without that understanding. All right, real quickly, I think this will be our last slide. This, you can't hardly see this up here in Canada. We think of that like the polar bear region. There's really not much people. You're really true. The population of Canada is just along the base here. This bottom view is really just bigger up top. That's all that is. That's your Quebec. Who said you're going to Quebec? Montreal, Toronto, major cities. But you go outside those cities, it's rural. It's hurting rural. I mean, God is just not even considered or talked about. It is purely secular in many, many areas there. But look at the population. You got 30 million people scattered over this. All it is small towns. And who's going to go there? We need to help the Canadians find indigenous people to raise up and train where they don't have to move, where they can keep their family. They know the people. In our next portion of this, you'll understand how important that is. Okay? I think we'll stop right there. All right? Any questions about that? Yes, sir.
regarding church planters being funded through the mission board in relation to bivocational work. What I'm asking, I guess, is 4 years ago, the thought process was church planters who went on the field were not allowed to work bivocational if they were receiving funding through NAM.
Right.
So I'm wondering if that is...
Nehemiah broke a mold. J.D. may have been involved in this historic event, but 2 years ago, we've been saying this for years and years, okay? And the trustees of the North American Mission Board passed a policy that Nehemiah guys who come out of here, and we pay their health insurance and just a little stipend now. It used to be greater for a couple of years. My son's a Nehemiah church planter in Pennsylvania right now. He graduated from Southeastern. What's that? You are. Okay. You are now allowed to be bivocational as long as you're doing the job that you've been called to do. Okay? And the state conventions now are picking that up. Not every state convention takes the money from NAM and uses it in that manner. Florida, for instance, they just do their own money for CGA. Okay? They've addressed it earlier than that, but it's taken just a long time. Some of our states have not totally bought into it. Okay, but you'll read in the book that it is the way of the future, and our leaders are now grasping that because Nehemiah has led that way. Okay? We all are. Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. With Bill Brown? All right. You didn't get J.D.? Man. You know, J.D., I don't know what they're thinking over there at Southeastern. All right, that's a good question. So we as Southern Baptists, when I started this 25 years ago, we were put into a place, a town. We were said, go get them. There were no books to read. There were no real mentors. My closest person was like 50 miles away, and it was just, here, go get them. We've come a long way. You guys, we're dealing with networks now. We're dealing with Internet. We're dealing with a lot of things that we've paved the way. But what we've done... Take this very carefully before the break. because we have inundated you with, we've inundated you with so much information, and so many people are able to tell you this, that we've taken away your dependence on God. Listen to this very carefully. What you've become a generation who likes to be around other people and ask people questions. And for 2,000 years, the mission pastor or planter had to get on their knees before God with a Bible in their hand and say, God, how do I reach these people? That still hasn't changed in God's eyes, but it has changed in ours. And we have to go back to that to get the answers. Don't look for the cookie cutter that we as Southern Baptists have been pushing out. Okay? That has gotten us where we are, but it has not made an impact on lostness. Okay? All right. I'm not ramming it. I'm part of the system. Okay? But I once sat in Southeastern like you guys sat. So, any other? Yes, ma'am? Yes. Yeah, which one of the 100? You know, no. Go ahead. The first one. Yeah, just rural areas, maybe. Oh, the 436 counties that we've not reached. Yes. It's very interesting. In most of those areas, there are, say, a church or two that historically has kept it in a survival mode. You'll find this in Georgia and other places. We call it the survival mode. Some of them would be Methodist, Presbyterian, and Lutheran. A lot of the areas in the Minnesota, Wisconsin, Dakotas, it's Lutheran. Now, you make your judgment where that is. My bent is towards they will have a God consciousness, but not necessarily a salvation event. Okay? And so it is imperative that we don't get those two mixed up, that we need to bring an evangelical witness to some of those towns. Okay? So they have churches, but they may not be as evangelical as we would like them to be. So that needs to be considered. In fact, I would not say don't go to a rural place that has an evangelical work. There are plenty of places that don't have any evangelical works. You know, don't try to just bring a Southern Baptist church into a rural area. If they have a church that's preaching the gospel and reaching that area, go somewhere where there's not. And we as Southern Baptists have not done well with that in your southern type areas. We have to have a Southern Baptist church there. That's why all of the South and all that, there's no counties there without Southern Baptists. By the way, there's one in Texas. Where's the dude from Texas? Who's from Texas? There's one in Texas. Well, you can hardly see it. It's a speck there. But you need to know, it's the King Ranch. The ranch is the entire county. And we don't even have a Bible study that we know of on that ranch. So, yeah. Okay, any other questions before we let you go for a break? All right.